Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doug and Eric Show. Now,
all right, we just left off on page XXVIII, first paragraph, and we were talking about the phenomenon of craving. That is the powerless. Step one, powerless. That is it. It talks about in the next paragraph, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. My kids, 3 and 2 years old, coming up to me saying, Daddy, you promised. You know, I just got back in from a trip, and what happened? I mixed myself a cocktail, actually. there's an Exxon gas station right outside the airport, and I'd take 2 tall boys, and then I'd get my gallon of, you know, not milk. And so I would start the disease. So by the time I got home, I broke all promises. I wouldn't go out and play with them. I wouldn't do anything. Frothy emotional appeals seldom survives. The message which interests us, Richard talked about this today, and holds these alcoholics, must have depth in weight. Depth. Depth is God. God is inside all of us. And if you don't think so, I just believe it. God is inside all of us. That's the depth. The weight is the 12 steps. The message we must hear is from the depth and weight. Okay? God in the 12 steps. These ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And that is such a true statement. It says here on that page at the bottom, it says, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. No kidding. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it's injurious, which means it hurts us, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the truth from the false. To them, their only alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are, here we go, restless, irritable, discontent, unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort, which comes from at once by taking a few drinks which they watch others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon of craving develops. The phenomenon of craving develops. It makes it virtually impossible for us to stop, doesn't it? Once it starts, it makes it virtually impossible for us to stop. The next paragraph, first sentence. Once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily and able to control his desire for alcohol. Here is the contingent. The only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. And what are they? The 12 steps. Right next to that paragraph, right, recovered. That's the definition of recovered. That's the way I react to alcohol. Okay? It says here, I want you to turn to page XXX, which is in the fourth edition page, or XXVIII in the third edition. If you go down 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, another definition of powerless. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. You cannot. That's where people say, hey, first drink gets me drunk. Really? I used to think you're a loser. It used to take me 18 beers and a fifth. No, you idiot. The first beer gets you drunk because it starts that cycle again in motion. Okay? The phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be a manifestation of analogy which differentiates these peoples and sets them aside as a distinct entity. Welcome. You are a distinct entity. I will show you the handshake later. My wife does not know it. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So going out and smoking dope does not work. All right, we got Bill's story. Bill was a big, big drinker. He was one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and if I want to hear a story, I'll have Chris or Rich come back up here or one of you to tell me your story, okay? Although he was the founder, that's great. You should read it, maybe understand it. But I'm going to be teaching you the history as of the first 100, not just one person, but the first 100 who has agreed on this book. Turn to chapter 2. There is a solution. I have some people come up to me, my God, I can't find a solution to this problem. I'm like, you have a big book? Yeah, but I just cannot find a solution to this problem. Well, have you ever turned to page 17? Maybe. There is a solution. All right, now. This is what I want you to do. You ready? You're in a meeting. They call on you. You raise your hand. They call on you. And you're going to read the third sentence from the first paragraph. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. Hi, my name is Doug. I've recovered, and I've solved my drink problem. And then you're just going to be like ducking, and you're going to have to run out. When they used language here, folks, they used serious language. Nearly all have recovered. Is that our experience now? Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. I have solved my drink problem. Contingent, so long as I'm working the steps, I'm helping others work the steps, I'm praying and meditating, then I'm going to meetings. You got it? Do you know why I go to meetings? I don't go to meetings to stay sober. I'll say that out loud. I'll say it in the
I don't go to meetings to stay sober.
I don't. That's going to really sound nice on someone's MP3. They'll be like, whoa! Sorry, Bill. Look at Billy shaking his head. Sorry about that. I go to meetings to find sponsees. I don't have to go to institutions. I don't have to go to hospitals. I don't. I go to meetings. You know, now I'm being discriminated against. So I'm doing well in life now, and I have a nice car. And Virginia, from Virginia, hotline, always knows when I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia, and defaults to me. Hey, we got a wet one. Can you go to UVA, University of Virginia Hospital, pick him up, drive him up to Culpeper? Hey, I'm your man. She goes, I know that. Virginia's so sweet. She's like 75, got like 90 years. Little exaggeration. Math was a little off. Sounded good. So I come pulling up, you know, pulling up my Lexus, and it's drunks there. I'm like, come on. He's like, and he's looking for this guy, and I'm the guy. I'm like, yo, come here. And I roll down the window. He looks at me. He goes, what the fuck do you know about drinking? I'm like, you stinky piece of shit. Get in my car. He gets in my car, and I tell him about living on the streets in New York and then living on the streets in Cleveland and then living in the streets. He's like, damn, you're doing all right for yourself, boy. That's the way they talk down there, right? And I'm driving them up, and I'm preaching the big book, and then I drop them off. But what do? I do like the first 100s do. I don't give him my number. I get his number. Most of them don't have a telephone. But then I go visit him, or I call up the institution. Hey, man, how you doing? This is Doug. Remember I drove you up here? Most of them don't remember, but you have some time? I'd like to come up this weekend and talk to you a little bit. And they're like, what? They don't know what to say. Right? I don't give people my number. There's just no reason to. Give me your number. And then I call them up. Hey, man, this is Doug. We spoke at the meeting the other day, and you're like, silence on the other line. Hey, can I come pick you up? You want to go do a coffee? That's the way they used to do it. They used to hand out people's numbers. Meeting makers make it. They had one meeting. It was a Friday night. You were hosed back then, right? Meeting makers make it. I'm waiting for party. Oh, let's go to the last paragraph on chapter 2, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us, don't you love facts, is that we have discovered a common solution. We have discovered a common solution. Can any of us, two of us, agree on where we're going to go for freaking dinner? 100 agree on a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree. That blows me away. All 100 agree. They're singing Kumbaya. And upon which we can join in brotherly harmonious action, the 12 steps. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I want you to turn to page 19. First paragraph, third sentence. We, the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 19, first paragraph. We feel that the elimination of drinking is but a... So why am I going to tell you not to drink and go to meetings? Here, just take a little taste. I'm like the crack dealer. Here, just take a little bit. It's only a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles. And folks, from this point on, when they're talking about principles, they're talking about the 12 steps. The principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And I don't mean your mistress or your mister. Hey, what do they call a, for guys it's a mistress, for girls it's a, if you cheat. Hoback? No. A hunk? All right. Anyway, I don't know. So what they're saying is the 12 steps, okay? You need to work them in your homes, your occupations, and your affairs. Everything. Everything you do. I cannot come here, your spiritual Doug. No one will ever call me that, but, you know, here's Doug, the 12-step guy. And then I'm out hosing people around the world in business. You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, you know. I'm going to tell you a story. I was, and I'm going to stand up on the stage. I was in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I was on my wedding anniversary, and I was bringing my wife around New England, from Florida, around New England, and we were doing the, what do they call that, the bed and breakfast thing. And so I'm having a dinner with a friend of mine, very dear friend of mine, John Hawkins, owns a huge Chevrolet dealership up there. And we're talking, he goes, hey, whatever happened to that Mercedes I sold you? I'm like, dude, man, that thing got stolen. And blah, 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 blah. He goes, wow. So what happened? I said, well, I went out and I brought that Chrysler 300 or 3000 or whatever it is, the one I just got rid of. And the day that I bought that car, the day that I got that car, right, my insurance check came in, $14,500. So I'm literally driving to the car dealership, my new Chrysler 300, to give them the $14,500. And I get a phone call from a detective. And he says, hey, guess what? We found your car. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, we found your car. Come on down and check it out. So I go down there. And there was needles, and there was razor blades. And this is my favorite one. There was a CD disc with two wrappers on it like this. Right on the front seat. And I'm like, he goes, go ahead, take it home. I didn't know what to do. So what was the first thought that went in my mind? Bury it. Bury it. I got the money. The second thought that came back is like, yeah, right, that's going to work. And you're going to be in a bar in about 30 seconds. And so I sent back the check. My friend's face turned white. He was like, you did what? I said, I returned back the check. I had to come up with $14,500, and I had to get that car, and I had to do the blah, 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 blah. Can you believe it? But that's what we have to do. This is what we're talking about, okay? This is the type of stuff. It's not just cash register honesty or $14,500 honesty. It's real, true depth honesty, and that's what we got to keep up with. I want you to go down on page 19 to the third paragraph. It says, we have concluded, the first 100 people have concluded to publish an anonymous volume setting forth the problem as we see it. We shall bring to the task of our combined experience and knowledge. This should suggest a useful program, circle program. Program is the 12 steps. Fellowships are the meetings for anyone concerned with a drinking problem. Next to that, right, big book is the program of recovery. The big book is a program. So when people come up to you and say, what's the program? It's right there, page 19, second paragraph. The program is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Check this out, page 20, top of the page. Our very lives, circle that, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depends upon the consistent thought, the constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. So if my very life is to help you through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and think about you. Why am I going to tell you to wait a year? Doesn't that just contradict everything you have been hearing? It just contradicts everything we've been hearing, doesn't it? I'm going to do that all day. You're going to love it. And then you're going to go in, hey, that guy Doug from Florida, you're a liar, you son of a... Yeah, you start fighting in the rooms. It's funny, when I'm in the rooms, if I'm back home in Florida or Charlottesville, because I have a home group in Charlottesville and one in Florida, and someone says something like way off the wall, all you got to do is just not drink, go to meetings. You see all my sponsors just turn around. They look at me. Go get him. I never say anything, ever, 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 ever. I will never embarrass somebody like that anymore. That was a total ego thing that I just needed to pound my chest. But I will talk to that person after the meeting and ask if they want to go through the steps. And most of the time, they'll either spit on the floor and walk away and look at me. Yeah, that guy, my sponsor told me to stay away from you. Yeah, that's right. Stay away from me. I'm going to show you a spiritual experience through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't want that because you have joined a 12-step program. Let's not work the 12 steps. That makes sense to me. Okay. I want you to go to the first paragraph on page 20. If you go four lines down, it says, "We have recovered from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body, the mind obsession and the body craving. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may be ready. You may already be asking, what do I have to do?" In the next paragraph, every time they ask you a question, they'll answer it in the next paragraph. It says, "It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions vaguely." Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Specifically. So if we got a book that's going to answer your alcohol question, does this just blow you away? And I'm only on page 21. If we're going to answer these questions specifically about your alcoholism, why are we not screaming this? Why? I just don't get it. It blows me away. So let's do this. You ready? I want you to go down to the second to last paragraph on page 20. I want you to circle moderate drinker. Next to that, write three types of drinkers. We're going to start going over the three types of drinkers. Are you ready? Beat your bust. Are you ready? Got to come down and give us a visit in Florida. Show you real beaches. Better than Maryland, Ocean City, whatever. Oh, what? Hey, what? What, Rich? Moderate drinker. This is a joke. I want everybody to raise your hand. Have little trouble giving up liquor entirely. What? Do we have anybody in this room that has little trouble giving up liquor entirely? Let's just go to the next one. Number two. Then we have a certain type of circle hard drinker and highlight it. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. I did. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or a warning from a doctor becomes operative, this man can circle stop or circle moderate. Can anybody here moderate their drinking? Okay, there's 500 people in this room and no one has raised their hands. Yeah, I'm speaking in front of a big crowd today. They're just all quiet out there, folks. Okay. It says here, number three. Number three. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuously hard drinker. But at some stage of his drinking career, folks, if you're calling drinking a career, you may have a problem. So let me tell you, hard drinker, right? Let's not get skewed here. So I'm 31 years old. 31? Yeah, I was 31 years old. And I have to go through a flight physical every 6 months as an airline pilot. And my flight physicals are with the airline that I was with is in Washington, D.C. So I go to the flight surgeon, and he does the blood work up, and all of a sudden he goes, "Whoa, man." He says, "Your white blood count is like way off the hook. Are you okay?" I'm like, yeah, I got the flu, whatever. Yeah, I'm fine. He goes, "All right, let me just take a little more blood." And then he signs off my license, my medical license, and off I fly. I'm good for another 6 months. Whoa, dodge that bullet. So I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm on an overnight, and I get a call. "Hi, this is from the flight surgeon's office. You need to get on the next flight. You're positive space." Positive space, that means they kick off paying passengers to get me back to Washington. "The flight surgeon needs to see you immediately." I'm not even thinking. I'm just thinking, yes, the union contract says I get paid and I got off now. Woo! You know, that's what I'm thinking. I get to party. So I walk into this guy's room, and there's a nurse, and she's cleaning something, and then there's him and me. And before I even walk in the room, he looks at me, he says, "I don't care what you say." He says, "You are a serious drinker. You're getting cirrhosis of the liver right now." He says, "And you're going to die." And I sit down, and it wasn't the dying part. It was, "Oh, my God, he found out he's going to go to the union. I'm going to get fired. How am I going to cover this up?" So I'm sitting on the table. I'm like, "Oh, wow, okay, that's not good." Well, hypothetically, if I was to continue drinking, how long would I have? And they both turned like I had nine heads. She actually dropped the utensils she had. And he goes, "You're kidding." And I was like, "Ballpark figure." said 45. I'm 48 now. I'm 45. I'm thinking I'm 31. I'm doing the math. I'm like, inside, I'm having the biggest party. I'm like, yes! My God! You know, 14 years to live. And so what happened was I left the doctor's office. I walk into this bar in Crystal City. And, of course, you can imagine me. I'm like, I got 14 years to live. And everyone's like, yeah, Dougie's back. You know, and I'm buying the round bar. Drinking. Woohoo! Beer over the head. So I'm not a hard drinker because I couldn't stop or moderate. The doctor told me I was going to die, and I got excited that I had 14 more years to live. All right, let's turn to page 22. Folks, if you go about six down, four line, or five lines down, it says, as the matters grow worse, we're talking about Bill Wilson here, he begins to use a combination of high-power sedatives. Oh, my God, we're talking about drugs in the Big Book. They talk about drugs in the Big Book two times. Don't get overly upset about this. Some people are talking to me after the meetings. I don't care if you're an Overeaters Anonymous. I don't care if you're an Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't care if you're a drug addict. It doesn't matter to me. The first thing we got to do, if you look at the corporate structure of the way things are working here, it starts off with God. Once we get to God, then everything else just works out. AA, NA, Overeaters, Cocaine Anonymous. Do you see what I'm saying? How do we get to God? Some of us are a little slower than our non-alcoholic people, and it's called the 12 steps. Does that make sense? That's the way I got there. Now, we have separate meetings for separate issues. That's cool. I agree with that. I do. But if you're here now to learn the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous so that you can get a spiritual awakening, so that you could pass this spiritual awakening and never drink, drug, overeat, or whatever, I welcome you. Okay? I truly welcome you. I don't tell people that they can't be on drugs either. On mind-altering drugs. Prozac. And I'll tell you about that. Why almost 80% of us are on Prozac. It says here, I want you to go to page 22, last paragraph, third sentence. It says, we are equally positive. That means all of them agree. That once he takes any alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens, both bodily, craving, and mentally, obsession, which makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. The experience of any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. Do you all agree with that? 525 people shake their head. Let the record show. These observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink. That's where it comes from. First drink gets you drunk. Yeah, loser. Yeah, 18 beers and a fifth of vodka. No, it was the first drink. Setting in the terrible motion, the cycle. All right? That I showed you this morning. Got it? Get it? Got it? Good. All right. I want you to turn to page 24, first paragraph. Here, look at that squiggly line. They call it italicized. It says, the fact, circle fact. I love this fact. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscured, have lost the power of choice. Folks, if I have the power of choice not to drink, why on God's green earth am I here today? You think I'd be here? I'd be home with my wife. I wouldn't be here. I just wouldn't drink. Wouldn't that be nice? No. You know, actually, the more I think about it, no, that wouldn't be nice because I love being with you guys. I love watching others get a spiritual experience. I love being the motivational force behind people who say, I trudge the road to destiny. That's going to drive me to drink. I trudge the road to happy. I skip. I do. I mean, really, my life is like this, like almost all the time. Is that crazy? No drugs. Little ADD. A lot of ADD, but anyway. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into the consciousness with the sufficient force and the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. So why am I coming to meetings to keep it green? It just says it right here that I can't even remember a week or a month ago. When I used to leave the bars and pee and poop myself, and I'd be back the next day, hey, I'm here! And I'd be like, dude, what? Yeah. Man, there are some embarrassing moments, I'll tell you what. Page 25. Can you believe this? There is a solution. Circle that, please. There is a solution. Almost none of us like self-searching. Which steps are they? 4 and 10. The leveling of pride, step one, when you admit you're powerless over something, pretty, like, maybe humbling. The confession, step 5, of shortcomings, 6 and 7, which the process requires for its successful consummation. I got good news and bad news. The good news and bad news for the people who are chronic relapsers and who have never worked the steps of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have never sponsored people out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but go to meetings. You have never failed. You've never failed if you have not worked it that way. The bad news is you're never going to get sobriety if you're a real alcoholic. Because for its successful consummation, this is the process you have to do. It just said it right there. I don't make this stuff up. I'd like to take credit for it, of which I will be taking credit, Richard, for that that thing that you said before with the 12. Is that okay with you? Thank you. I ask permission before I steal stuff. If you go to the, if you go down a few sentences from where we just left off, when therefore we, the first 100, were approached by those whom the problem had been solved, circle solved, there was nothing left but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. What spiritual tools are they talking about? The 12 steps. We have found much of heaven, have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence. That is so my story. That is so my story. Fourth, fifth, sixth, if there's a ninth dimension, I'm in it. Some people are like, is he really, they said to my wife, is he really like this all the time? Obnoxiously so, she says. All right. It says there on page 29, first paragraph. I love the way they're so vague in this book. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. Hide money in a big book. I guarantee you your alcoholic husband or wife will never find it. All right. Chapter 3, more about alcoholism. This is about the state of mind. Chapter 3, more about alcoholism. Page 30, more about alcoholism. This is the state of mind before the first drink. This is the state of mind before the first drink. I want everybody to take the first step with me. You ready? And if you're non-alcoholic, that's fine too. It's the second paragraph. I want you to box in that paragraph, and I want you to write right next to it. Step one. This is step one. This is the question that I ask. We're already up here. We're on page 30. We just read 30 Roman numeral pages. We just read 30 numbered pages. Let me do the math. At 60 pages. Do you see how fast I came up with that? It was like, zoop. And now we're at step one. I ask you this question. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic. This is the first step of recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently may be, has to be smashed. So I say, do you believe that you fully concede to your innermost selves that you are alcoholic? Yes or no? Yes. Finish step one. Not bad. Right? We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic, circle ever, recovers control. Four sentences down from there on that same paragraph, it says, we are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in a grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period of time, we get worse, never better. Is that true for people who have relapsed? Yeah. I'll take your word for it. I've come in here once. And I've come in here once, and as you can see, it's not because I'm better looking. It's definitely not because I'm smarter. It's because I've been blessed that I got a sponsor who is a bigger freak than me when it comes to the steps. He showed me this way. And then when I was done, he grabbed the newest guy he could, and he says, listen, genius, take this guy through the highlighted places that I showed you. Don't tell him what you think. Don't tell him how you feel. It really doesn't matter. Get him through the steps. And when I did that, that first awakening that I got was absolutely unbelievable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that email from my sponsee from Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm going to do this without crying. Dear Doug, hope your trip is going well. I think I've been gone for like 9 months. So you might notice I exaggerate a little bit. It's been a week. Thought you might appreciate this. I got a new sponsee, yay, this week, that really wants sobriety. I attribute all this catch to your great generosity to me last weekend in your office and to the good vibes I had as a result all week. Just got off the phone with him, and I got to tell you, I got this 12-step stuff now, and I really understand why you're so excited through so many years. Let me try to do this. What a feeling it is. I've totally been missing it for 5 years, and I want to thank you for this new life. I love you. Jeff. You know, if you haven't experienced that, you have so missed the mark. That's it. That's the gig. That's the icing on the cake. I remember when he put me together with this new guy, and I looked at my sponsor, I said to myself, oh my God, I'm going to kill this guy. He says, genius, you are not that powerful. And I'm not that powerful. I can't kill this. By bringing him through the steps, you're dead. That's the type of stuff I hear all the time. All the time. All the time. People, I could read email after email from Hong Kong and Africa and just one from Japan about people have heard these tapes all over the world. It's just, you can never fight a spiritual awakening. There's just no way you could do it. I don't care what's going on in Dublin Island. I'll go back there next year and there'll be another couple hundred people, big book thumpers. And we're gonna change that because you cannot beat a spiritual awakening. We got it? All right. Page 31. There's two other times I will be crying through this thing. Just be ready for it. Most of it's the ninth step. Page 31. I want you to go to the bottom of the paragraph. We have an alcoholic test here. Did anybody know that? We have a test. You want to see if you can pass it? Follow me along here. Last paragraph. We do not like to pronounce any individual as an alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest barroom brawl and just try some controlled drinking. I love that part. But check this out. Tell me they don't know who we are. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. Don't you love that? Because I could do that like once. I stopped. You know, you're like ripping off the bar. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are, circle the word, honest with yourself. That's a big one. If you're honest with yourself. Turn to page 33. Page 33. First paragraph halfway down. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. Now, for those of you who have relapsed before, and you know, please don't raise your hand. From my understanding, like, let's say you were sober for 5 years and then you started drinking again. I hear that maybe like it takes about a week or two or three, but it's like it's escalated. Is that a true statement? It is. It's like just way worse. So the big book's not lying. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind nor any lurking notion that someday, even if you are young, that you will be immune to alcohol. Okay? I want you to write smash next to that. Smashed. It talks about smash twice in the big book. Why do you think it doesn't say broken? We could fix broken, right? Smashed, you cannot fix. It's got to be smashed. And then I asked my sponsor that. Leave liquor alone for 1 year. Yeah, right. 1 year. You kidding me? I told you that one time I did 1 week. I mean, I had morphine, but I wasn't drinking. Does that count? If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is a scant chance of success. That's huge. I want you to go to the next paragraph, three sentences down. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power of choice. Okay? If you could choose not to drink, then you don't need the spiritual program. You don't need the 12 steps. Stop! Once again, make us the coffee, set up the place. We could use you and abuse you. But just don't sponsor people. Okay? Because you're really going to kill people. More than smallpox. And we don't want that to happen. Here, read this book. Tell me what you think. Half the people that I'm sponsoring now, they can't read in the beginning because they're just so messed up. You know, I'm going to the Salvation Army to pick up people. That's what I do now. Instead of going to bars and pick up people, I go to the Salvation Army. I have upgraded. Page 37. This is a dry drunk. Tell me if any of you ever experienced this. Page 37, 1, 2, third paragraph. In some circumstances, we have gone out deliberately and got drunk, feeling ourselves justified. I'll show them. By nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, of the like. Has anyone ever felt that in Alcoholics Anonymous? If you feel that for an extended period of time, your spiritual condition is lacking, your chances are less than average, you will go out and drink, drug, or do whatever. Okay? Page 39, first paragraph. That may be true for some certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate. That's on page 20. Stop or moderate. Okay? That's a hard drinker. Because their brains and bodies have not been as damaged as ours were. Were, past tense. Page 39, first paragraph. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This point we wish to emphasize and reemphasize, here's the first time, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us at a bitter experience. I had 2 years sobriety. It was Memorial Day. I was going to fly. I'm in Virginia. I was based out of Washington when I was an airline pilot. So I was in Virginia, and I was flying up to Newark to be with my family. I was actually born and raised, believe it or not, in Totowa, New Jersey, which is near Wayne. And I get this, and I open up this door, and there's this guy there, and he is a mess. And he's like this, "Are you Doug M?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, who are you?" "I'm Jeff L." I'm like, "Jeff. Golly, he stunk. He just came back from Manassas, and he tried to drink himself to death, and he failed at death." Richard was talking about that. He failed at death. And he says, "You're the guy they told me to come see. I need to take these steps. I need to do the steps. I need to, blah, blah, blah." So I called up my mother, and I said to her, "Mom, listen, I can't come up. I got something I got to do here." And I brought him in. And the whole weekend, we worked the steps. This guy is probably one of the brightest guys I've ever met. It's just off the chart smart, right? He knew this big book and would quote it to me. I would say something wrong and he'd requote it. So then I started calling him genius. I'm like, "Who's sitting there shaking, pal? It ain't me." And he finally got it. He finally got it. And this guy, like me, you'll hear my step, and Richard, and many other people who have finished the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, did things and flew places to make amends that you never would believe. Never. He is the pillar. He was a chronic relapser. He got thrown out of the JAG in the military, and they had him on that, what's that drug that you take that makes you get sick? And they put it in his mouth, and he'd drink, and he'd go home, and he'd wail down two beers and puke up his guts, and then he said he could drink. I mean, that's how much he wanted it. Impressive story. And he is the pillar of the community of Sarasota, Florida. He owns a huge, lovely, wonderful company that just employs so many people. And he will only sponsor people out of the Salvation Army, as low as he was. And he kept moving on and on and on, and they disbarred him in Virginia. And he just kept moving on and forward and forward. My hero. He's still sober to this day. and I had 2 years sobriety, right? And so that I could pass that message on to him, he is now passing on to thousands. And as you will do right after this, right? Self-knowledge will not fix it. Turn to page 42. I want you to go to the bottom of the paragraph on page 42. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles, the 12 steps, would solve, circle the word all. Or as you would say, all. All. I've been down south for 30 years. I hope I lost it. Maybe not. Principles would solve all my problems. All of them. All of them. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange its best moments for its worst that I've had now. I would not go back even if I could, and I would not. That is the definition of recovered. Recovered. Write recovered next to that. The spiritual principles will solve all your problems, all of them. I want you to turn to page 44, chapter 4. This, at the top of chapter 4 with the agnostics, step 2. Step 2. Does everybody know the difference between the agnostic and an atheist? Somebody say it. Speak up. Speak up! Or care. That's exactly it. An atheist is a person who does not and will disprove God. I remember I was on this overnight and I was in Key West. And I was hammered. And I was arguing and showing this flight attendant mathematically how the universe exists without a God. And she was a Baptist minister's daughter. She started crying. I mean, talk about atheist to the 10th degree. And now think about it. God is everything in my life. Everything in my life. Through these 12 steps. And I'll show you how I got it. Atheist does not believe, will disprove God. Agnostic doesn't care. Right? We the agnostics. This is step two. This is step two. I want you to go four sentences down from the first paragraph. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or, circle or, if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably an alcoholic. This is the first time they're calling you an alcoholic. Do you notice that? It says here, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So I'm sitting there on the couch with my sponsor, and I said, well, what do I do? I said, I'm hosed. I'm an atheist. He says, yeah, you are. I'm like, dude, there's got to be a door number 2 or 3. He says, no. Find God or die, pal. And I'm just sitting there in the depth of the blackness, and he would just let me wallow in that. He says, but his silence would kill me. But you're only on step 2. Step 12 states, having had a spiritual awakening as the singular result of these steps. Relax, genius. It's coming. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think this is going to work for me. He goes, yeah, you figured that out in step 2? Good for you. Wait till we get to step 3. He goes, you're really going to love that one. I'll tell you that story when he got to his knees and I was embarrassed. I pooped myself in a bar. Not embarrassed. A guy gets to his knees. I'm like, off the hook. Get up! Okay, here we go. Page 45. First sentence. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but where and how were we going to find that power? Remember, ask your questions, going to give you an answer. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object. Now, folks, do you remember we talked about the main purpose? The main purpose of this book is to show you precisely exactly how we have recovered. The main object of this book is to enable you to find a power that's greater than yourself, which will solve your problems. We have a book that will show you precisely exactly how we have recovered is the main purpose. We have a book that the main object is to help you find a God. I ask you again, Why are we not screaming this from the hilltops? Why are we not just talking about this in meetings? Why are we having these Babel meetings? Why not just talk to your sponsor? I would love to do that. I would. When I hear somebody just going on and on and on, I will literally excuse them, say, excuse me, this is really interesting to me because I have that same situation. Could I talk to you outside about it? Could we talk about this outside? Because I don't want to talk in front of everybody here. And they're like, yeah, I'll go help you. Yeah, yeah. What did I just do? I pulled that person right out. Hey, what can I help you with? Let's talk about the big book a little bit. Have you worked the steps yet? Oh, you're that guy. Yeah, but I just pulled your ass out of a meeting. Right? And I do that so that I could get, and I've gotten many sponsees. And we start talking. And before you know it, they just break down. They start crying. I'm dying inside. This is killing me. What could I do? I was like, this is it. Let's just do it right now. We'll go in my car. We'll go in my car. I'm going to get you ready. We're going to go in my car. We're going to make this happen. Are you ready? Go in. I'll buy them a big book, and we'll go in my car. I have highlighters. No, not in this rental car. I have highlighters. I got pens. I'm ready to rock. I'm locked and loaded with big books. You people are like, oh, my God, get a freaking life, dude, will you? I do have a great life. Look at me. No, let's not do that one. All right, let's turn to page 46. It says here, page 46, first paragraph, second sentence, let us make haste and reason to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were willing to lay aside prejudice and even express an even willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Because, folks, when I came in here, I was really tainted. You know, I did that Catholic school thing. They asked me not to come back because I was too good for that. So, you know, I had the beatings. I had all that stuff. So I had a lot of stuff that I had to go through. Plus, I was atheist, so that didn't work too well. But I had the willingness to move forward, right? So I'm about ready to ask you the second step question that you will ask your sponsees, and I'll tell you how I got through that. It says here on the second paragraph on page 46, it says, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power. Here's that power I was talking about. I'm not powerless. I have this new sense of power and direction, contingent, provided, so long as we took other simple steps. What are those other simple steps? So we can't do that 1, 2, 3 drink. Steps 1, 2, 3 drink. We got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. with all his heart.